Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome back Jim Steppelfield, along with Bo Astrup and Eric Hansen. Jim is back on the show to talk about his new guitar with the Carlos Juan pickup system and talk about his upcoming new album. Eric was a guitarist on Jim's new album, and Bo is finishing up the mixing. They'll be talking to us about the recording techniques that they used on this album. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Flo to the Izzo Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great show tonight. We're going to be getting into a lot of interesting stuff, and we're getting a special preview of Jim Steppelfield's new album. It hasn't been released yet, and we got some clips of it. It's really, really cool. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been keeping busy. I've been checking out a couple new pedals that just arrived in this week. The TC Electronic Helix Phaser and the Viscous Vibe from TC Electronics. And those are both pretty cool pedals. They have tone prints on them, too.
Oh, cool. And when will we expect a video of those?
I'm going to try to shoot one this week. I'm really hoping, because I don't even think those things are available for sale yet. So I would like to get a video quick.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, this weekend I got to sit in with Jim and JP and Incendio a couple of times, and I got to take my Martin in with the LR Bags pickup in it, and it sounded really cool. It sounded really, really good. I was having a lot of fun with that. It was fun to play with them, and we had a great time. So anyway, there might be some pictures showing up somewhere on the on Facebook about that, but it was great. But I just want to let you know that the pickup sounds great and it works really well live. So, okay, well, let's go ahead and take a break real quick. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Jim Steppelfield and Eric and Bo, and we're going to talk. We'll start off with this pickup system, which is just really cool. You got to hear this thing. You will not believe what this thing sounds like. I was really impressed when we even played yesterday or the other day. It was really good. So we'll be right back after these minutes.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
The Flow here. You're listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show on LATalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Carter from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
We are back. It was interesting. Richie was using this little teeny amp that he was using, and it sounded pretty cool. It was kind of an interesting sounding amp. But anyway, without further ado, it's great to have Jim Steppelfield back on the show. He's come on several times and always surprises us with some great music and great technique, great sounds, great guitars. I mean, everything. You got the gear, you got the guitars, you got the music. So anyway, it's great to have you back on.
Thank you.
Let me introduce everybody else that's on. Bo is here. Bo has been mixing the album for Jim. And he has mixed the last Incendio album, which was killer, by the way.
Thank you.
It was a very, very good Great album. It was just really killer. And we have Eric Hansen. Now, Eric, another great guitar player, and I'm going to play a clip of his real quick. But before that, he, besides being the guitar player, he's the guy that installed this pickup in the guitar that Jim has here right now. So we're going to talk about the pickup, how he, you know, the issues with installing it. And we're going to talk about, you know, his feel on the pickup compared to other stuff, and why he likes this, because he uses it too. And I think even on the, I'm not sure if it was on the recording that we're playing, if he was using any of the pickup, we'll find out.
But anyway, not the recording, but on the video.
On the video. Okay, so yeah. What we'll do is let me play a clip of his. This is called Event Horizon. It's very cool. Very cool. Now, I want to ask you real quick, which guitar were you using there?
I think that was a Lester DeVoe guitar.
Oh, okay. It wasn't the Jorge de Sofia.
I didn't have it at the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very clean. I mean, the sound of that is just amazing. Welcome to the show, too. And one of the things I want to mention that's really, I really like about, I went on his website and was checking out some of the different stuff. It's called ericguitar.com. Is he has the music. You can get the music for that, so you can learn that piece. You can, you know, pick it up, which is really, really cool. I think that's just a great thing. Anyway, I'm going to play the piece that you guys played together, and then we'll talk about that. So this is Puesta del Sol, and you're trading off, if I'm correct, Jim. You're trading off leads on this.
Yeah.
And let me play the piece, and then we'll get into that a little bit. Okay, hang on a second here. We'll play Puesta del Sol. Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, Jim. What were you guys using? Both of you, both chime in. What were you using guitar-wise on this?
I'm using a Jorge de Sofia guitar that I got about 2 weeks before I recorded it. It's the last song made for the record and the only song with the Jorge de Sofia on it. And it's made of Brazilian rosewood. Eric?
Same guitar maker, Jorge, except mine is just Indian rosewood.
Oh, okay. Now, and what's interesting, I mean, it's very, the track is really tight, but you guys did your recording from each of your respective studios. So Eric's in Florida and you're over here. Was that difficult being able to put that together, or was it pretty pretty easy doing.
It was super easy, and you know, Dropbox, you know, uploading files to Dropbox, and then, you know, Eric and I went back and forth, and he was just such a pleasure to work with, and even up to the mixing and all that. So Eric.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Jim sent me a fairly complete version of the tune, and all I do is basically go through, learn the melody, construct some harmony for it, and send back what I did, and he was happy with it, and off you go. It's easy to line up the tracks in the DAW. You just get the tempo marking right. So when I export my guitar track, send it to him, he just drops it in, and it's already lined up.
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask you, both of you guys, that was mic'd. How did you approach recording it? What did you use? What microphones? How far away? Did you use more than one mic or what?
I'll go first, and then Eric can do his. This is the only track on the record I used a matched pair of Shope's mics, which I had gotten about a week before. The whole rest of the record was a Audio Technica 4033, just a single mic, and I had these Shope's, and so I played around. I'm still learning like the positioning and stuff, and. And then, of course, you know, Bo could speak to mixing, you know, when you get to him, because he did some interesting things as well. But that's what I used the Shope's about a foot away from the guitar, you know, one at the 12th fret and one off axis to the sound hole.
Mm-hmm.
Eric?
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Which one were you? Were you the first guitar that played or the second one?
Eric was the first and then the second, and then we harmonized.
Okay.
Okay, and then Eric, what were you using? How did you approach your guitar?
I was using two mics, an Earthworks. I think it's an SR-77, but they have changed the name to an SR-30 now. And then a Neumann TLM-103. So the Earthworks is pointed at the 12th fret, and the 103 was probably more between the bridge and the sound hole.
Okay, and what preamps were you guys using to go into?
For me, a Manly dual mono mic pre.
Tube. And what about you, Eric?
The Groove Tube Supri, which is out of production now, but also a tube-based preamp.
So they use tube. That's interesting. Bo's smiling over there. We had a discussion before the show about analog audio and digital audio, so it was interesting. But no, the and we'll get in a minute. I want to go into the mixing and how Bo had to deal with the different tracks and how he made it sound so smooth. But I want to now I'm going to diverge a little bit because we heard those guitars, and that was originally the Jorge was the one of the first one that you were telling me about this new pickup system.
Oh yeah, it has the Jorge de Sofia has the
Carlos Juan system
in it.
So briefly, maybe let's let Eric explain. Can you tell me a little bit about the system and just kind of explain what it's about, and also why you like it so much, what its real strong points. I'm saying that because I heard it over the weekend when I was playing with the guys, and it just blew me away. I mean, it just sounded the most natural I've heard of a pickup system. But anyway, Eric, can you kind of give us a little detail about the system itself?
Sure. Well, it's a dual pickup system. So you have a pickup underneath the saddle. It's a cylindrical coax, and it will go in the saddle slot, and it rests underneath the saddle, and it is compressed between the top of the guitar and the saddle. And then you have a sensor, which is attached inside the guitar typically. Some guys do it on the outside, but typically on the inside. And it's a small little square sensor that goes to the soundboard. And that placement is usually kind of behind the bridge and down towards the treble side of the soundboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you blend the two pickups to taste. Now the coax picks up a lot of high end and a lot of upper mids, and it's a wide range signal, but its expertise is on the higher frequencies, I'd say. The sensor picks up more of the low stuff from the guitar because it's touching the soundboard, so you get more mid range, you get more lows.
Mm-hmm.
So when you blend the two together, you kind of get this really nice natural sound that a lot of pickup systems can't seem to capture properly.
Okay, so now this system, you're getting two mic feeds coming out. So you're getting like you're getting two channels coming out of the guitar. Correct. Okay, and I noticed that. What I noticed the most is because with any type of piezo, the thing that most of us don't like about piezos, we deal with them, but they get that clacky type of sound, and this thing just does not get that. It didn't. I'm not really hearing that. How does it? How How do you do that? I mean, if, is there?
I don't know. Carlos will never reveal how that happens. But I guess it's just the nature of the coax style transducer. It's not a crystal based transducer like I guess, you know, like a Fishman pickup would be like. Mm-hmm. So it must react differently to when pressure strikes it. But you're right. It's not nearly as harsh when you, especially for a pick player, when you're playing, it doesn't have that immediate weird bright attack that a normal piezo would have. So it feels good coming out of a speaker. It's always tough to relay that sound through a direct recording. But when you're live, as you heard it live, it just has this natural sound coming out of a speaker, and it just feels good to your ear if you happen to be close to your monitor or, you know, the PA system.
Yeah. Now, Jim has it going. Now, we're going to do a demo of this real quick, too. And what Jim has here, what he brought in with the guitar, is he's going into a Felix. Grace Audio makes this Felix. It's a new guitar preamp by them. And I've known Grace for real high-end mic preamps for a studio. And they also make mixers and headphone amps and stuff, real audiophile stuff. And if I'm correct, it was you that recommended, was it Eric that recommended you get the phaser?
That was Eric. Eric can talk about the phaser because it is really, you notice it like when, you know, I notice it a lot live, you know, in the headphones and all, not as much. But yeah, Eric could address the phaser. It's a pretty big deal.
Okay. So anyway, we'll get to that. But basically what he's using is his guitar, both channels are going into this Felix. And the Felix has two channels with full EQ for each channel, and then he has a blend, so he has the piezo separate from the I guess I'm used to calling it mic, but it's the transducer, right?
The terminology. You know, Carlos calls it the piezo, the transducer, and he calls the microphone the sensor.
The sensor. Okay, so he has the sensor and the transducer separate.
And the important thing is the EQ is a parametric on this, and I wanted to get an SPS-1, which is what Eric has, mm-hmm. by Pendulum, but they don't make it anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, this thing sounds killer. And also, too, I think, if I'm correct, before the piezo goes into the Felix, it's going into the phaser. So that's the one you're playing with the phaser.
And I have to give Eric credit for that. pretty much all this stuff, I defer to Eric. But yeah, so I go out of the guitar using a Mogami Y cable. So a single cable coming out of the guitar, and then it Ys the piezo, so to speak, goes into the phaser and then into channel one of the Grace preamp. And then the sensor part of the signal goes into channel two, so you have complete gain control, isolated gain control, and full parametric EQ for each channel.
Yeah. Now, Eric, real quick, tell us a little bit of why, you know, where you discovered the phaser. Now, this isn't a phaser like a phase shifter. It basically gives you a variable adjustment of the phase of your signal, whatever signal you're putting in there, taking it totally out of phase or in phase. Can you explain where you discovered this and just the whole story behind it?
Well, as I was experimenting with the signal of the Carlos's system in the DAW, I kind of like magnified in on the waveforms, and I noticed that they were slightly out of alignment, which is normal with any two signals, especially right. of two different types of sources. And I realized that they're about 2 milliseconds apart from each other. So if I nudged the sensor signal or the coax signal, whatever, as long as I nudged one of them to line up with the other, the sound suddenly got drastically better when you blend the two systems. So looking up, you know, what can do this for me on the spot at a gig, I found the radial engineering phaser, which doesn't exactly time shift anything, but it does adjust the phase in an analog fashion that really helps dial in the mid-range part of the sound, I think. Because if you have both signals in phase with each other, the more you bring in the sensor, the thinner the sound kind of becomes. And it's kind of like defeating the purpose because you want the sensor to fill in the sound. So by just adjusting the phaser, direct box, you can immediately change that sound, and it'll fatten up really quickly by just doing a simple quarter turn on the knob. And it just kind of brings the whole signal into focus. But it also helps the sound behave properly in the venue. It's not just, you know, helping the two signals blend together, but just how it reacts all around you, even on stage.
Yeah. No, when he was testing it at soundcheck, he was dialing it in, and you could hear it when he got it right. it just sounded natural. I mean, it sounded like, you know, if you were sitting there listening to the guitar just a little bit louder, but it was really natural.
Right.
Let's go ahead and now I have here, just so you know, we have him in direct through the board where it's dry. And I know that's not, you know, that's a very harsh condition, but I want to show people really what the pickup sounds like. Or the pickups, there's two of them, but I mean, and then I have a microphone, I have an Audio Technica. I couldn't bring it in too close, but it's about, I would say, about 2.5 feet away from him. So there is a little bit of a proximity effect with that mic, so I know the bass is a little bit rolled off. But you'll hear, it's pretty, you know, listen to when he's picking, you can, the attack, they're very close. I mean, from hearing it from a mic as opposed to, because especially now he's blended the Paizo with the other pickup, and it's, he's got a nice blend, and he tweaked, you know, they set up the EQ and all that stuff, and then we'll go into the phaser. But Jim, go ahead and just play a little bit, and I'm going to mute our mics so you don't hear our mics interfering with the sound. This is going to be the pickup by itself right now.
The pickup by itself. Oh, do you mean to do the pickup without the sensor? I mean, just
your setup right now, okay, with the pickup direct. Now I'm going to turn the mics off. Hold on a second. Go ahead. Okay, so that's pretty. Now I'm going to do the same thing. Have him do the same thing, and I'm going to hear. You'll hear it just mic'd. Okay, here we go with the mic. Okay, now what I'd like you to do also too to show, dig in a little bit. Maybe just play a quick run or something. And so they hear it where you're really digging in the guitar. Now, this is still the mic hang here.
So this will be like... So I pick it pretty hard.
He's leaning into it. Okay, now I'm going to switch while he's playing. Just keep playing that, and I'm going to switch to the pickup. In there, you can hear, if you listen to the transients, the way the pickup is responding to it, it's pretty natural. I mean, there is a difference, and you know, with distant miking and stuff, there is a difference, and there is some EQ in there in the Felix, but it's basically, in terms of the attack and the response of the guitar, it's pretty natural.
Well,
and
I also have it reversed, you know, the phase reverse, so if I change that over to the phaser, you'll hear a difference as well.
Okay, go ahead. Might as well do
so
that.
So I have the sensor out of phase, but if I flip that and then bring in the phaser. I can add more mic. So, okay.
All right, Jim, do this. Do an arpeggiated pattern that's constant and bow. What I want you to do is pan between the two pickups on the Felix first so they can hear the difference in the pickups, okay? So there's the Paizo, right? We're all Paizo. Now he's going to go all the way to the transducer. That's all the way with the microphone in there. Okay, then bring it back up to about 50. That's half and half right there. Okay, now let's try the phaser. Now, Bo's going to be changing the amount of phasing. It's got a variable control. And then just keep playing and see if you guys can hear the difference. Thank you. can hear it get a little richer in the low mids. I think everybody can hear that. Bring it back to make it thin again. So you can, it's very cool because by playing with the phase like that, you can, it fills out the guitar and you can kind of dial in how much, you know, girth you want from your tone. And it's
if the pickups are in phase with each other, you'll get more of a thinness when you're not applying the phaser and they're equally blended. If they're out of phase with each other, they'll start off sounding thick already, but then as you adjust the phaser, the mid-range will shift usually more in your favor. But I'm not sure where you had if the pickups were in phase or out of phase with each other.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's hard because right now I have it so the pickups are like right now. Check this out. So if I take the phaser out,
yeah, you can hear the difference as you kick it in or out.
This is out. I mean, both of the pickups would be, and then I'll engage the phaser.
Yeah, that's dramatic.
But there's so many parameters. I mean, here it's kind of nuts because, you know, we sat down at the station. It's like, okay, let's get something up, and it's going to be a direct recording. So, you know, I'm sure we're not even at the nearly close to the ideal setting here. But
well, let me ask Eric. You've used this a lot more than what is your experience? What do you? I mean, you use the phaser too on your when you play live too, and
right.
What do you do? I know from your video, it sounded the best around, what was it, about 70%?
Yeah, it depends on which configuration you're using. If both pickups are in phase, I think I get a better sound at maybe the 90 degree section. But okay, when they're out of phase, it's kind of better between 45 and 75. But it also depends on the venue and how it reacts. I play some venues where there's walls close by, and just how the sound reacts in that space may cause me to change the setting from one gig to the next.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to start with the pickups out of phase. For whatever reason, it sounds thicker to me when I start that way, and then just kind of adjusting the phase dial will just help me get the mid-range where I like it.
So the radio can switch it. You switch in phase, out of phase. You can set it which 180 degrees, right, either way. So you
right.
can determine which one it is. Because I would presume when you wired the system, the system by itself, it's all in phase, correct? It would have to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, so with the radio, you're basically flipping it.
You can go actually 360 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why there's so many parameters. So, I mean, the ideal sound right now for this environment, I could be like five turn, you know, a little turn away from it, you know, and just be missing that ideal sound for this environment. But there is so much flexibility.
Well, I think what's really cool about it is like you can hear how full it is, but sometimes, I mean, you're playing by yourself, so when you make it really rich and full, it just hits there. But Bo will agree with me. If you were playing with a rhythm section, you might want to thin it out till it cuts a little more, and you got that control there rather than an EQ. And it's an interesting way of doing it. It's a more natural, to me, it sounds a little more natural than just cutting or boosting from an EQ circuit. And it's real musical. That's the thing that impressed me the most. And with him playing with Incendio live with it, it cut, but it was full. And when he went down to the middle strings and he was playing lower, it had some oomph to it. You know, I don't know how to describe it any other way, but you could feel it. You know what I mean? It just it was really, really rich. And also, too, the Felix has phase in and out, right? You can change the phase of each input.
Yeah, and that's just the strict, 180,
right?
I believe. You know, the idea of having the analog control of the phase, like Eric said, you could mess around with it. And it's more apparent when you're listening to it in a sound system. You can actually hear the mid-range thickening up. That's exactly what Eric had said and exactly what I heard. You know, when we're running through a big, loud speaker array, you start hearing that mid-range really dramatic.
Because we played the other day, we played two places. We played outdoors, and it sounded really full, which is a totally different thing. There were no walls. I mean, the walls were way away from us. And then you played in at Spaghettini's, and it was like a very closed room, and it was consistent. And I thought that your guitar tone overall was pretty consistent between that. You nailed it for both of them. I mean, it wasn't.
And I've only had the thing for, I've only had this Grace. I got it the day before. So I'm still learning how to use this thing. Literally got it a day before that show. So
the Grace system is, the Felix is something. We should talk a little bit about that too, Jim. It has a boost switch because he boosts when he plays leads and when he has to do a lead in this, in when he's playing a song for Incendio. But what else? What are the other features that it has?
Okay, like I said, it has independent gain control for each channel. It has full parametric equalizer for each channel. It has a adjustable boost from 0 to plus 10 dB. It has a headphone out. It has a mix control, so you essentially could have on the guitar, the Carlos VIP system in the guitar has two volume wheels in the guitar, so I can have those up to full.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can actually, like a dial, I can, if I turn the mix dial on the top of the Grace all the way to the left, it's the piezo only.
Right.
All
so you're the right, you're using the you're using the Grace to adjust the balance of the two pickups.
Exactly. And then the back is like a Swiss Army knife. I can send XLR out of the back to the house. I could send channel one to the mixer, so he has independent control of the piezo. And then channel two would be the microphone, and he'd have independent control of that. Or I can hit a toggle switch, use one XLR out of, say, channel one, and then I send the mixed signal to the sound guy. I say, you know, you're getting the signal that I'm deciding is mm-hmm. my sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can actually assign out of the quarter inch out, I can assign it to go to a guitar amp, and it's a lower signal, so I don't overload the input of a guitar amp mm-hmm. like a AER or some kind of onstage monitor system. It has an insert cable for like inserting effects. It has a foot switch cable, so in case you want to rack mount the Grace, a Felix, you can have a foot switch on the ground. It has a headphone jack on the side. On the side, it has a 48 volt phantom power. So if you won't need phantom power for, say, a microphone,
mm-hmm.
it has independent phase controls. It also has six dip switches on the side, so I can change mm-hmm. how the parametric works. You can actually take the Grace apart, and there's dip switches inside, so you can change the jumpers inside. If you're playing like a banjo or certain instruments that don't need certain things and they need other things, there's jumpers inside the Grace that you can switch.
So it gives you like an overall EQ difference for...
I guess. I mean, like I said, it's got the coolest thing, the thing that I find really necessary is the high-pass filters on this, mm-hmm. especially for the sensor. I noticed immediately, per Eric's recommendation, that I needed to use the high-pass filter around 90 on the sensor or microphone channel live.
Mm-hmm.
How many inputs does that Grace have?
It has two inputs. So you could go... Well, it actually has three inputs. It has two quarter-inch inputs and then a microphone input.
So you can use it. You could use it with if you're doing a vocal or something.
Yeah. Or you could if you wanted to mic your guitar,
mm-hmm.
like with an outside mic, and then have a direct. Yeah.
But does that blend from that blend control at the back? Yes, all three of them blend.
Mm-hmm.
That's only very.
There's only two.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You choose. You switch between the mic input or the...
Oh, okay. So, like, if I was using, for example, my Martin, which I have the LR bags, if I plugged into one channel, that system, which it's, even though it's two transducers, it's one channel out, and then I could mic it, and then I could play.
And then you could Then you could flip the phase on the mic if you needed to, or right. if you had the phaser, then you could even be more granular with your adjustments.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the phaser on that kind of thing, now, Eric, let me ask you, since you've played with this more, have you tried using the phaser when you use a guitar that has like a electric pickup, like an LR bags type system where it's a mono system, and then with a microphone, does that work with that?
No, most of the venues I play at really don't allow me to use a mic. They're kind of noisy venues, so I'm only using the Carlos system exclusively.
Oh, okay.
But it can be used in the same way. Since the pickup signal is going to arrive significantly faster than a microphone signal, the phaser will still have an excellent effect on what you're hearing outside, especially in the venue. Okay. I mean, that's basically how it's advertised. They use that kind of scenario as the example.
Oh, okay. So it's made to correct phase problems, what you're having with
yeah.
using a mic as a, in their case, mic as opposed to a pickup
right.
system. So
they even have examples of where you can adjust the phase just between your signal and the monitor on stage. So let's say there's a time differential between what maybe you're hearing on your amp and what's being coming back to a monitor or something like that. There's some pretty cool applications listed on their site.
Yeah. Now you do, and also too, I want to mention you do a YouTube video of it. What's your channel? Is it on your YouTube channel? Because you demo this thing and it's pretty demonstrative. You can really hear the difference.
There's no video for the demo, but I did put a page up with a bunch of audio samples
audio. Okay.
of each setting. Yeah, and the website for that was acousticpickupinstallations.com/vip-phaser.html. I can't remember. Can I send you the link?
You got to put a link there because if you go to your acousticpickupinstallations.com. There's no link to that.
Okay, I'll update that page after the show.
Now, the VIP system, is it a hard system to put in a guitar? Is it if I was bringing in a guitar with no that has nothing on it or something like that? Now, I know on the Jorge system, they put it in while they were building it, right, if I'm correct, on your guitar?
Eric could answer that because I think Eric put it in along with Jorge. I'm not sure.
For the guitar that Jorge built for Jim, Jorge installed the pickup. I just basically tested it out afterwards to make sure the string balance is good. So right. I took it to a gig and played it and made sure it was cool. And we kind of did some adjustments, basically just adjusting how snug the saddle fits in the slot. If it's a little too snug or it's binding anywhere, that can affect the string balance a lot. So we basically really just kind of fine adjust the thickness of the saddle until it's really free in the slot and then gets a nice even pressure on the coax. Then you know that you're all set.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jim's Maldonado that he's performing with, it was a quite a different installation because we had to remove the RMC system, which is the hexaphonic pickup.
Mm-hmm.
There's six tiny holes in the bridge slot going through the top for each little wire, and those holes had to be filled. And then at that point, it made sense to just fill the entire saddle slot itself with a nice piece of Brazilian rosewood mm-hmm. and reroute it to a proper size. Now, Carlos's transducer is about 1.7 millimeters wide. So if you have a saddle slot that's over 2 millimeters, the installation gets trickier because you have to set up a channel for the wire to rest in that's towards the neck side of the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So if we fill the slot and then just reroute it, I rerouted it 2 millimeters. The coax will sit in the slot uniformly, and I don't have to mess around too much with the string balance afterwards. It's pretty much good to go from there. But, it's a little more involved when you're taking the RMC out.
By the way, really quick, Victor Tarasov, I believe that's his correct. He's a friend of ours, and he plays Jorge de Sofia guitar as well. And he just said on Facebook that he goes, "Okay, Eric, I just ordered the phaser."
There you go, Victor.
It's really a great tool if especially with these types of pickups and stuff. It really makes a difference. I can't stress that because I wish I had that back in the day. Some of the times, especially when I was using back then my old Ovation and I was miking it too. It was just like it was hard to get that to work, you know. And you probably could use that with other instruments too. If you're using different mics on different amps and stuff, it's a good little utility tool to have.
You could even use it in a studio if you're just dual miking your guitar. Just run one mic through the phaser and the other one not, and see how it pans out. You can just adjust it.
Yeah, it's really really handy. Now, for a regular, you had complications because you were taking this pickup out of this. This other system out of the Maldonado, but for a regular guitar, is it about as the same difficulty to put that VIP system in like it would be like putting a Fishman or a LR Bags or something? Is about the same?
More or less the same. It takes some practice. I think it's a little trickier maybe to get good string balance with it. But the thing is, you can get good string balance with it. Whereas mm-hmm. a lot of other pickup systems I've had in the past. Whether it's, I don't want to really knock anybody other systems because they're all good. But with other piezo systems, I've had difficulty getting certain strings to come out properly. And no matter what I did, but with Carlos' system, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But you just gotta have some practice with routing the slot properly. It's really what it comes down to is how that coax is going to be set inside that slot. If the slot is bigger than 2 millimeters, then things do get there's a few more things that come into play.
Yeah. So if you and you do the installations for those too, right? So you install the pickups. So I'm just going to throw out really quick www.ericguitar.com. Check out his site, and you can get the information. Besides his music, you can get the information on if you need to, if you're interested in getting one of these pickups installed. Now, let me ask you too, Eric. How does this pickup system work with steel string guitars?
It works really good. I've been recording some demos for an album I'm working on, and I'm so pleased with the sound that I'll just compose with the guitar plugged in, and I'm listening to it through my studio monitors with a little bit of reverb, and it's very natural. And even live, I performed with the steel string. I have an old Guild that I put it in as a test, and I was blown away with how clean it was.
Now, you're using the same VIP system, or is there different ones for steel string?
Same exact system.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. Because some of the other companies, they have different ones for different style guitars. But, yeah, we're going to have to hear some of that. You're going to have to post some audio files of that, too. And with the phaser, I want to hear how you probably would notice even more with the frequency response of a steel string if the phase was out. So that might be pretty interesting. Anyway, okay, well, listen, let's move on. Let's get back to the album. So I'm going to play another clip here. This is an interesting one. Personally, too, because it shows some where, you know, Jim's always been kind of pushing the boundaries and going in different directions. This song is called Odyssey of Fire, and it features electric. So we're going to take a listen to this, and then we're going to get a little bit into the recording and also the mixing of that. So here is the Odyssey of Fire. Let me go ahead and play the clip. This is great. I needed a good blast of electric guitar. Now, you had given me some notes, so I know a little bit about what you were doing in there. The main lead guitar was a Gibson Les Paul.
Yeah, it was a Gibson Les Paul custom.
Custom. And then the amp you're using is a Mesa Boogie.
Mark 5.
And then the middle part, if I'm correct, that middle section. Now, understand, this is I cut clips and put it together.
Yeah, that's a clean little edit there you did there.
Bo's cracking up because I warned him about it because I kind of chopped pieces.
I was like, that section doesn't follow that section. I'm like, okay, I see what he's doing.
But anyway, he was smiling, so I think I have his good graces. But anyway, on that other guitar, that was the Aldi Miola, right? The PRS.
There's a riff going on in the background. That's the Aldi Miola Prism playing that riff, and mm-hmm. then on top is the Les Paul Custom going through the Mesa Boogie with a Phase 90.
So was the Aldi Miola going through the Boogie too?
Yeah, they're both through the Boogie.
Now let me ask you, in terms of recording, did you just you didn't compress that? You just ran it with the gain.
Yeah, I don't use compression with recording anything.
Okay, and then now, Bo, in mixing that, did you find that you needed to compress that more, or do you do more compression at that stage, or you found it was pretty much it stood its own?
Not much. First of all, the recording was done in Digital Performer,
mm-hmm.
and not even the current version, but the previous version, DP7, Jim is looking to update his rig now. So that was kind of interesting, first of all, having a DAW just plain Virgin. There was no extra plugins except from what comes with DP.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of interesting when approaching this, because normally you would say, oh, I have this plugin I used to use, and I use this, and I use that. and all of a sudden all that stuff wasn't available. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, first off, you freeze a little bit, going like, oh, how am I going to do this? But anyway.
Did you pull it? Now, you pulled the tracks into Pro Tools?
Nope.
No, you still stayed in Performer.
It's totally Performer. This whole album is totally Performer. Mm-hmm. And DP7, and we're only using the plugins that come with DP7. For those guitars, actually, they have some emulations of some stomp boxes. And for these guitars, we actually added a little bit of a of like, not the Tube Screamer, but another kind of distortion,
mm-hmm.
and an analog phaser.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a small stone kind of emulation.
Thing, yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in DP7, there's a plugin called Leveler, which is a LA-2A type of compression.
Compression.
But I ran it through there, not so with barely adding any compression, but just to get the warmth of the circuitry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically...
But you did that after the fact, after...
Yes.
In the mixing process.
Everything was done when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically just sit down and start working through the thing.
I said, make it work.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and play the other clip because we're running out of time. I knew this was gonna happen, but this is a very interesting. This is a longer piece. Actually, the original piece is 9 minutes long. This is called Phrygian Suite, Opus 1, and this features Jim on the Les Paul and guest guitarist Mark Barnwell on classical guitar, who recorded in England, right? Did the tracks in there.
Yeah, did all the tracks in England.
And then you mentioned that you were using a JP7 Music Man 7-string for these heavy riffs, which you'll hear. Again, the Mesa Boogie Mark V. And you had some steel string guitars.
Yeah, right? I use a James Goodall.
Goodall.
Yeah.
James Goodall. Okay. So I was curious about that one. All right, let me play the clip. And this is the Phrygian Suite. Great stuff.
That was some interesting edits. No, it was fun.
Yeah, I pulled...
That is not the way the song goes, but...
Yes, no, I pulled things from different... It's a long piece, and there's a lot of development.
Yeah, it's 9 minutes long. So.
And I just want to mention on the viola, it's Novi Navag, which is a killer player. And also, too, the those strums, brum things, that's the seventh string, right?
Yeah, that's the John Petrucci seventh string, but I'm using the piezo pickup in it. And I'm going directly into the Manly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's no amp or anything.
Yeah, it kind of sounds acoustic. I thought it was acoustic, but it's it's a really rich, rich sound. And then Mark is playing classical guitar, and he's just crystal clear. And then there's some little things you were doing in there, too, with the voice. The vocalist is moving around a little bit, and you did some panning.
Yeah, DP has an excellent reverb, or both the proverb that comes with DP is amazing. We used some impulse responses from the Precasti reverb, and then it has a delay that's really, really great, where you can do really crazy stuff by feedback from left to right and stuff like that too.
Now, did you find any issues? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Now, I'm only playing a little bird's eye view of this piece. There's a lot of different things going on. There's vocals and strings and stuff. Was this a difficult piece to mix? Did you have to really give everybody their space, or did it kind of fall into place? Or what were the challenges for you as a mixer?
It was actually pretty straightforward.
Straightforward.
I mean, most of our, it was well recorded, first of all. Mm-hmm. And starting out with a good recording is kind of half.
You don't have to fix it in the mix.
You're halfway there, even though we were talking about fixing stuff in the mix anyway. But first of all, have great tools and really working with a DAW, just right DP right out of the box, nothing extra. Well, it's kind of an amazing experience, because these days you have all kinds of stuff.
Right.
So, and here we were going back to Digital Performer 7 with, and I started reaching out to say, oh, in 8 I have this plugin, in DP8 I have that, but now I don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that kind of restriction makes you work, you know, more imaginative, I guess.
Yeah,
I would say.
The fact that go ahead, Scott.
No, I just wanted to ask Jim, how did you record the amps? What mic?
Well, you know, once again, I'm a total noob when it comes to engineering. But what I did for the clean sound was I put an SM57 on the mic itself, and the guitar sounded super thin, you know. And then I put a TLM-103 about 4 or 5 feet back in the room. And then all of a sudden, I got a bigger sound. So I think for the rhythm guitar riff, the heavy distorted riff in Odyssey of Fire, that's a SM57 on the amp, and then a TLM-103 condenser farther back in the room. And then for the clean Les Paul sound in Phrygian Suite, same deal. SM57 off axis. And then another mic probably 5-6 feet back and in the air aiming down at the hardwood floor. And, I'm sure there's a million other ways I could have done it, but I got a sound that was closer to that bigger, wider frequency because I wanted to use that clean kind of Les Paul sound. And, you know, if he plays a clip at the end, I'm doing like a muted kind of demiola kind of thing, and it really helped having that second mic to blend in. But Bo did some stuff too. I don't remember what he did.
On Phrygian Suite, what scale do you use? I'm just making a joke.
I use the Ionian mode.
But it's the structure. Well, it shows as a composer and arranger too that you know what you want. And that it was pretty straightforward. It sounds really complex. I would have thought that you were doing more games in your mix, but it seems to be pretty. I mean, you know, you had.
There was a couple of small things like running duplicate bass tracks and putting distortion on the bass, again, using DP's built-in plugin.
Now, what happened? Why were you. Give us a little bit about that, and since you brought that up. Because I know that, like, it's similar to what we heard, Scott, you probably remember when we had Billy Sheehan on, because he basically uses 2-channel out of his bass, and he uses a little bit of a distortion device to give it a little more character. But, Bo, tell us a little more what the issue was and what you needed to do.
Well, the issue was that Randy makes some beautiful runs and just make them come through in the mix and bring them to live. So what I did was I actually copied the track he made, put a high pass filter on the second track, so and put distortion on it and a little bit of there's a great analog chorus effect with DP7 as well. That sounds amazing. So basically take the low end of my second track, add a little bit of distortion and a little bit of chorus on that, and push that when he makes the runs.
Oh, okay.
And blend that into
the other
track.
And that just brings that out. It pulls it out.
And that just pulls that out and makes it a bit... Distortion is your friend.
I don't like this guy. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean that because sometimes you go like, and distortion, what are you doing, you know?
Well, you're the second person that to mention. I mean, that was one of the things that Billy did to get that his tone for a sound. He uses a little bit of dirt in there to get it, and it doesn't sound like it's breaking up. It just gives it a little more character. It's pretty amazing. But we're already out of time, and I still got to play the last clip, which I'll take us out. I'm going to play the ending of Phrygian Suite. It's the very end. And there's some interesting stuff. Tell us a little more of the people that are on the album. The name of the album is Encantado.
Yeah, and that was Mark Barnwell gave me that title, Encantado. You can look it up on Wikipedia what an Encantado is. It's Brazilian folklore. I want to give some shout-outs really quick to people who are on Facebook. John Ostrakowski. I've never pronounced his name. I've known him for like 15 years. David Correa, Yannicky, Trina, Jorge, De Sofia, all of you guys rock. Anyway, Lisa, JP. Mark Barnwell plays nylon string guitar trading against me. I'm playing the Les Paul again. We've got Randy Tico on bass, Ramon Islas from Strings and Fra on percussion. Let's see, who am I missing?
The vocalist.
Oh, Moksha Summer from Hudost. Mm-hmm. She's on three songs. And like I said, the songs we're playing today are the atypical ones from my record. The seven tunes that you're not hearing are more kind of things you probably expect to hear from me. Did I say Novi Novog?
I had mentioned, yes. Yeah. She's just amazing.
And Bo Astrup on mixing, and JP and Lisa and Tim and everybody at Incendio for being encouraging, and Nicole and Brian Brock.
Now, I recommend people check out Jim's Facebook page, because he documented some of the stuff that he was doing when he was developing the album. There is a clip of him, that opening that I played on the Phrygian Suite, the clip that I had played previously. Yeah. It shows him designing that clip, that riff. Which is very cool. But you also have pictures of a lot of the what you were miking and recording when you were recording.
Yeah, and I'll put stuff up. And I have to also give special thanks to Eric Hansen for being really very helpful on just about every possible subject that has to do with guitar stuff. So thank you, Eric.
My pleasure, man. Thanks.
Yeah.
And hey, Jim, next album, man, you need a tambourine player. I can do tambourine like what Will Ferrell did to Cowbell. So just putting
Sweet.
That out there.
Sweet. All right, well, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody. Also, too, Jim also has some information on his Facebook page. He has pictures of the Jorge guitar being built and the pickup system. He shows all of that stuff, and he was posting up the last couple of days more on this pedal system, and I'll have some pictures of it so you can see what this thing is. But check out Grace Designs and check out this Felix. It just came out. It's really cool. This radial phaser, awesome.
And it's Strymon.
He uses we didn't use his reverb, but he uses a Strymon Blue Sky on there. But anyway, that's on there. And everybody check that out. Let me get all the information for Eric Hansen again. It's www.ericguitar.com. Bo is popsproductions.com. Check it out. And Jim is guitaraexotica.com. So those are the websites. Check out their Facebook pages. There's a lot of info about this. This pickup system, you got to check it out. It's really good. If you're playing acoustic guitar and you need a great, you want it to sound as close to your guitar, this is one of the best I've heard. So, all right, we're going to thank you, everybody. Eric, hang on the line till we're off the air. This is going to be the end part of Phrygian Suite. The name of the album is Encantado, and when's it coming out? Do you have a release date?
Probably not until the fall.
Nah, we have to wait. But it's cool that we got to hear a little bit first. Okay. All right, here we go. Everybody have a great week, and we will see you next week.